awesome. You guys have done a lot. You've done bluegrass, and what did you have the week before that? There was something else going on.
New members.
New members, yeah, right? Right? What do you say?
Different kind of grass.
Different kind of grass. So bluegrass is code. That's church code for something.
Yeah.
Bluegrass. Got it.
Yeah.
So we should have came. but anyway, and I know. So that was already 3 weeks ago we were here. Is that right? Am I math guy? Am I counting right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always get that wrong. Like, how many days till Sunday? Well, today's the first and that's the seventh. Isn't that six? Well, wait, how can it be seven? So I default to Brian. See? See? Because it's zero.
You're already on a Sunday that's zero, and then you have 6 months.
See, I love it. Get it while you can, guys. It's great info. Learn a lot. And I still got to work on my 31-day months. But, well, I digress. Anyway, we had a lot of fun sharing. We didn't realize, really, that was pretty much impromptu. We had a few things that were like, we feel like God wants us a few key things. And we were just like, let's, Lord, you lead this, okay? Mm-hmm. And so same thing for today. We have a couple points. I actually talked to Jake, and it was great because he's like, I said, what? Instead of coming up and saying, hey, this is what I think we should do. What do you think? And he goes, yeah. And you're like, okay, we're in agreement. I said, what do you think? And he mentioned the two things that I was thinking about. So praise God, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That makes it more fun that way. You learn that one. Do it that way. It's more fun, right? If you didn't catch that, too bad. You're just still learning. But anyway, so. See?
Yeah.
It's being recorded. Is that what that is? It's like, okay, shoot. Can we scratch all that? Start over? Yeah, okay. Sound guy's like.
We can edit that.
We can edit anything, right?
Speed it up.
So, can I test the 5-second delay, and if I do a cuss word, will it beep? Does that work too? That, yes.
Beep.
Love it. Oh, man. Okay, we better get going here. Having too much fun, but anyway, let's have a different kind of fun. So we got to just talk about how we found Jesus, how we found the church. And was anybody not here? I know maybe a few people weren't here from that, for that. I think most everybody was. But there was some things in there we forgot that as we're telling the story. We're like, oh, my gosh, I forgot how powerful that was. And,
yeah.
And there was more, too. But we got some more of the same things here. But this is going to be more of, okay, we stopped at this point, now we're going to carry on. A little bit of time crossover. We ended, I think, basically with how Levi was born and how that was a testimony of how people were like, well, God's trying to tell you something. You should probably have two kids and, you know, and that type of thing. And then here comes Levi and then Livy after that, and everything's great. Mm-hmm. And God said four kids and he delivered.
Yeah.
Man, we watched the movie Jungle Cruise, so if you haven't seen that with The Rock, he's just all one-liners in there. So
yeah,
it's not a great movie. It's okay, but
he's funny.
He's funny. So I think it's rubbed off on me. So what we want to do, though, is kind of go back a little farther then and start on a different timeline, more or less, or same timeline, different part of the timeline, is when we joined the church and then what happened to there, how did we get here? As deacons and servants and people who just, you know, grew and, you know, to encourage you that you start from just getting to know God and where is he taking you? So, so for our point of view.
Yeah.
So when we came, I think it was probably about 80 people and not enough where you could get lost in the back, but enough where you didn't maybe talk to everybody every day, and so that part was kind of neat, and so we were getting different viewpoints. And remember, we're newbies to this at this point. We didn't know God. We were just like, this guy's a crackpot. He wants us to, you know, the only way to get right is to give up everything. I'm like, that makes no sense. And then later on we figure out, wait, that's God's plan. That makes all the sense.
Yeah.
So we're newbies. We're trying to figure it out, and we're just coming to church, and I think pretty soon it was probably 7-8 months later, and I think there was a new members class coming up, and people would ask us, and we're like, sure, I don't know, and Well, whatever, they had a wall of new members, and maybe you remember that. It was down like on the old nursery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then they had our picture together, and it said, should be members. We're like, okay, I think we get it now. A little slow on the uptake, so, you know. So we're like, we should probably join and be members since we're coming here. So, but the difference was what we knew as membership was, well, you just go to that church versus you invest in that church, right? You are involved. You're attached. You serve. This is part of your family, immediate family.
Yeah.
So the main difference, I think, that as most people know, membership is it's like, well, yeah, I go there. I'm a member versus you belong to something and you put ownership into that. I think that's probably the easiest way I can sum that up. But so once that clicked, we went, oh, well, yeah, well, otherwise, what's the point?
Yep.
Right? It makes no point because otherwise you're just going to a movie, really. I don't see the difference. Mm-hmm. If you're not there yet, don't worry about it. But know that that's true. So I forget, it was probably over a year, but then the next class came, and I think we were even working nights at the time, and so it was a come after, you know, work all night, do the class during the day type thing, and we stayed up all day, and I think we actually condensed it into one day just so we could make it. I think it was 2 days at that point. It was like a Friday night and a Saturday thing. Yeah, yeah, but we worked Friday night or something or whatever, but, and so then we said, yeah, we want to do that, and it was fun. If you haven't taken it, it's a blast. You learn so much. There's so much to learn, but you learn what really it does mean, and that was very enlightening for us. So that was our first step to go, oh, okay, yeah, now this is new, different, and this makes a whole lot of sense. I get this. And so as we're progressing along, we realize, okay, well, what does that mean specifically for us? And I think that's probably one of the biggest things for people is, okay, you're here, but now what? And this is where it comes in, where you as an individual have to figure most of that out. You're going to have influences. You're going to have things, people that maybe will make suggestions. You can pray, obviously pray about it. But where is God leading you in the church? Because it's not going to be the same for any one of you. That was probably one of the biggest things I learned is that you do it this way. It's like, well, no, that's how they're doing it. Okay, yeah, there's scriptures you follow. The Bible's true. It's in the inerrant word of God. Mm-hmm. But how is that being delivered to you through the abilities and gifts God gave you, right?
Yeah.
So a couple fun stories. John, you know, we're going to do the garbage can, so I have to. he probably knew it was coming, but this is a great story. I'm jumping ahead, but to come back and make a point was, we're in the, I don't know who was with me, I don't know if you were there or whatever, but we're in the kitchen. John, I would say you were about probably Charles's age, somewhere around there. So somewhere around that 8 to 12 years old, I don't remember specifically. And there's the garbage can, the infamous garbage can that's, you know, you couldn't fit another thing in there even if you jumped on top of it, garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get someone to empty it because I would empty it. I'd see it's full. You just do it, right? It's full. You empty it. It's not that hard. And so John comes in, and I'm trying to, you know, maybe get him encouraged about it. I said, hey, John. He's like, yeah, what's going on? I said, what do garbage cans do? And he's like, I don't know. I said, they fill up. And I just looked at that one. He looked at it. He goes, oh, okay. And then he was running off. I was like, okay, well, we'll just keep chipping away at that one. It's a great story, and I didn't know it at the time. It was kind of funny, but later on, I'm like, wow, that really was good. You know, it kind of emphasized a few points there, and one of which is, okay, prayer, yeah, but somebody might point something obviously out to you, and you may not get it. Don't worry, you probably get a second crack at it.
Yeah.
Guess what he does with full garbage cans. Now, is that true at home? Is it okay?
Oh.
She's shaking her head no. She's like, mm. Moving on. And the socks are still on the floor. So anyway. but so for us, that was part of something that helped me was if I saw something, that meant something. Because I noticed it, right? So whether that was just observation or I got 20/10 vision or whatever, I don't know. To me, that immediately that meant I should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the time that's probably true. But I think what it more means is you should do something with that. Not necessarily you have to do it, but it's being pointed out to you. Now, I use the garbage can, and it's little, but it could be something as much as you see something in a person, right? God touches your heart and says, you need to go pray for them because of this. And you look and you see it and you feel it and you go do it. So you can go from that to praying for somebody. Or maybe you get a word of knowledge for somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with the garbage can, ends with miracles. That's a pretty good road. So, anyway, so that was kind of how we started, was with these little things. I'm like, I can do that. You know, this isn't getting done. Obviously, it needs to be done. We can do that,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I'll give you one other story, and then I'll let her talk a little bit, because otherwise I won't. not in a bad way. She just knows once I get rolling, it's hard to pull me off. But anyway, so there was another story with the serving part of it. Was a member here who was cutting the grass, and I think this is all within pretty quick of when we became members. So
mm-hmm.
probably within the first year, year and a half, 2 years at most, and I was coming here for something. I don't know if he was cutting it before the service. It was probably a Wednesday night. He was after work. He was doing it. And I go by, and I'll do my best imitation here. So he's cutting the grass. And, you know, usually you cut the grass, and you push, right? So he was pushing it, but it looked like this. I was like, boy, he is enjoying that. He is loving cutting that grass. Look at him just enjoying. He's just exhausted. And I came up to him and I said, you know what? I said, are you the one that cuts the grass all the time? He's like, yeah, yeah. I said, okay. I said, you know, I could probably do that. Great. This is great. This is the fun part. So the mower's running. This is before, you know, the safety things. The mower's running. He looks at me, he goes, oh, great. And he walks away with the mower running. I said, I guess I'm starting now. So that was Jim Dawson, for whoever of you know him, but so now you can picture his face. He had the best at face, you know. He was like, oh, awesome, and he just left and went inside, and I was like, it's still running, so I got it. I'll finish it up starting now. So, but anyway, I laugh. These two stories just stick in there. They're great. I love
yeah.
them, but I finished it. I don't remember. I think it was mostly done. Like, it was a little bit over here I had to finish or something. And then I walked around and went, wow, this needs a lot of help. But I know what to do. So I just did it. I was like, I know how to get rid of these weeds. Let's edge it. You know, here, let's trim this back. These bushes are overgrown. These flowers look terrible. Well, let's get rid of those. And, you know, don't even donate those. Just get rid of them. But and so it was something that I knew how to do. And it was great because it allowed me to serve in a way that gave me joy and freedom and something that I could do well in excellence to God. Now, it's just a lawn,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't matter because we're supposed to do all things in excellence to God.
Yeah.
So, and to me, it was just a great way to start. And so that was kind of how I started doing it, was just with that scenario. And then it kind of clicked, and it went from there. But I'm going to let Shannon talk about a few service things that she's done over the years, and then we'll go back.
All right. Ooh, this is smoking.
Yeah, sorry.
So service is, it's amazing. It's a great outward expression of your love for God and for the people around you. Sometimes you don't know what you can do to serve. Sometimes you feel like, well, I don't really have a calling for that or a gifting or whatever, but other people might see something in you that you don't know about yourself. So, you know, when we started coming to church and started having kids and everything, the nursery was a ministry that always needed help because we had oodles of kids down there. I don't even know how many we had, but we had a lot. And we were all young, so we were all having babies at the same time, I guess. But they needed help, and so I'm like, I guess I can do that. I guess I can help down there, but I didn't know anything. But that helped me to learn the process of it, you know, giving up of myself and helping someone else, getting to know the little ones down there and everything, and it was really great. Well, I'm not always an instigator of things. Sometimes I'm a little dense and people have to like give me a push and I go, oh, okay, I guess I can do that. Well, that situation helped or happened when I started serving in the children's church. We had, I don't even know what kind of meeting it was at the Fisher's house that we went to, but there was a bunch of us there, and I think people were all in leadership. I don't even know if you were going to be a deacon or if you were at that point or what, but Michael just said, yeah, we need someone to direct the children's church. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I'm looking around the room, and he's looking at me. And I was like, you know, do I have ketchup on my shirt? What is my hair? You know.
That happens all the time.
That was really bad. Anyway, so I looked at him, and he goes, I think you'd be great at it. And I was like, you know, the deer in the headlights. I just hear like this, in the back of my head. And I'm like, okay, I know nothing. I knew nothing about it. But as I kind of gave into it, because, you know, when you're a member of the church, you are submissive to the leadership in the church. He obviously knows more than I do. And I'm like, okay, so my heart is turning and it's changing. And it's like, okay, I have to learn to be in agreement with what he just said to me and do it in excellence, do my best. And so I started to learn about it. And we didn't really have like internet where you would, it wasn't as readily, I don't even know what year this was, but it wasn't just like, we had a computer at the house, I don't even know. But you don't just Google how to be a children's church leader, how to be awesome at that.
You probably still shouldn't do that. But.
So, you know, I just started. I'm like, what do you suggest? And I asked him, and I found other ladies who had children of school age that needed to be down there, and just pieced it together and worked it out. And then 17, 18 years later, I was still doing it and really loving it. And, you know, God moves you into these things you don't even know if you can do it. You'd have no clue. And there's even times, you know, weeks where I was like, Lord, I just do not have it. I don't have it together this week. And you feel like it's going to be a pitiful failure. And, you know, the children are going to see through you. Hand them a coloring page and they're like, thank you. This was amazing. Children's, you know what I mean? They just love that you're paying attention to them and, you know, doing the work for them and just praying and asking God to fill you up so that you can pour out to them. And that can be in any service ministry.
Yeah.
Do you feel like coming and climbing ladders and cleaning off all the stuff? No, not always. But you do it. You ask God to give you the strength, to give you, you know, just the energy to do it. And I am really blessed by having listened to Michael and been like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that thing. I think God really grew me up in that time. He brought me into a relationship with all of you who have children that I, you know, saw them grow up, and, you know, I love them all. They're just like my kids. And they'll even come back to me at, like, Savannah's age. She's 21. And kids her age will come back and be like, I remember when you taught us. I remember when you played with us in nursery. And it was just like, really? Really? Was it really that great? But they loved it, and
yeah.
God did it. God moved around. I wasn't always on my A game that morning, but God did it.
Amen.
So
yeah.
It's really great stuff.
That's really good.
Just do it.
Yeah. So a lot of good points she made there, one of which that stuck in my mind right away was what I've noticed, and this took a little while to learn it, and it was one of those ding, ding, ding moments, you know, but what I learned is if you are one of those people that are, now, the word worry gets used in this context a lot. It's not the right word for us. I say concerned or thinking about. But if it's something you're spending time on in your mind that you're not going to do that well at, The perspective for me was, well, wait a minute. You're already concerned and thinking about it, so you're going to do great,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So because what happens is you go through that, And you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. But you realize that because you had that initiative to think about it and put some time in it, that when it happened, you're like, wow, this totally worked.
Yeah.
So like I would always tell my kids, like, because you're even thinking about it puts you ahead of the game, puts you ahead of everybody else because you're already concerned about it versus somebody who didn't even see that coming. So when you have those types of things, that was just a little nugget, I guess. If you have those types of things that happen, what can happen is the devil tries to get worry to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he does it, right? He'll try and get in there, and all of a sudden it goes from, well, I'm not sure how to do it, to, oh, my gosh, I'm in a panic, and I got the hot sweats, and I don't know what I'm – okay, yeah, not from God, okay? So just rebuke that in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Worry be gone.
Yeah.
But just know in confidence that if you're already thinking about it, you're there. You're already in it. You're good to go. And everything will go great, right? And so then that's where you just give it to God. So instead of the worry, you go, no, devil, you can be gone. God's got this. He's already got my mind on it, so amen.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Yeah, so a lot of things, too, along the way, a lot of little fun stories like that, but I think the main points are always the same. Did I start to serve saying I was going to be a deacon? I didn't. I didn't even really know what a deacon was. And then I realized that once I did, I'm like, oh, I guess I am. But so I jumped ahead there, and I'll fill in the blanks. But so really, when you read about the Stephens in the Bible and how they, you know, were the ones doing all the mundane kind of housekeeping stuff so that the pastors and leaders could tend to the flock, right? So when you see guys get up here and all this stuff, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. In fact, the Bible says that those in preaching and teaching are worthy of double honor. Well, there must be a lot to it then if you're worthy of double honor, right? So there's a lot to do. So that's really where a deacon kind of comes in, is to help be that part of getting that, whether it's administrative, prayerfully, however that is, to get that to work. And so I realized I was already had that type of mindset already. And so as we just started serving in the church, I didn't strive and go, I'm going to be a deacon. I just was like, I saw what needed to get done. It was on my heart. I'm going to do it. And then somebody presented it to me. And I went, I don't know. But again, this is one of those times where someone had to put it and help you. Even though it was in front of me, I didn't see all the pieces together. And help me lock it in through Brian and Robert, and I think you guys were the main two guys that really helped me do that and really piece that and put it in front of me and said, yeah, you're right. This is what I'm doing. And I'm like, I don't really need time to think about it. Yeah, let's do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so did anything change? No, it was more just the mantle of that title. But now, you know, there's certain things that come with it. Michael had a great description of how the spiritual, I don't know, what do you want to put it, authority or attacks on the church are. He said it was an arrow, and then you have that arrowhead. So you have the body is the arrowhead is the leadership, and at the point is the leader or the apostle of the church. And so as you're flying through all the destruction or spiritual stuff, that's where it hits first, right? Hits the arrow, the tip of the arrowhead first, and then it comes back. So then when it comes to you in a measure that you're able to deal with it, basically. But so it just stepped me up to a part of that arrow that, you know, God was calling me to. And so it actually opened the door, because when you make decisions to do something for God or you fight against it, those are very polarizing things. And one little story with that I had was before I was a deacon, we had a trip to Costa Rica, I think it was 2000. This is before the sheets, the leopard skin sheets, which that's not for all of you, but no, maybe we'll tell that one. But and so this was a pastor of the church, Robert, and he called me and says, I think you're supposed to go on this mission trip. And I was like, no way, dude, not going to another country, not happening. Not interested, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, you know, I was praying about it, and God said I should give you my place on it. It's already paid for. The plane ticket, the money, he said I was supposed to give it to you. And I just refused, flat out refused.
hung up the phone, and I sat there, and I felt miserable. Not just like, you know, a little cranky.
Yeah.
I felt like I wanted to tear walls down. I was like, why do I feel so crappy? You know, I was like this thing, and I realized I was kicking and screaming like a little fit child. I don't want to go, you know. I'm like, no, don't make me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here's this leader of the church with a word from God, mind you. God told me I should do this, and you're like, no, no, I know better. I've been a member for 6 months, you know. I took the class. You were there, but I took it. So it was that type of arrogant, retarded, ridiculous attitude that led to me feeling miserable. And so I'm sitting there. I remember at the dining room table, and there's no one there. You might have been there. I don't remember if you remember it. But and again, there wasn't. I wasn't physically doing this stuff. It was a way I felt. And then I just remember just choosing, I'm gonna go. And it was not just I said it. It was a choice in my heart. And I literally couldn't feel myself sitting on the chair. Instantly, the weight was gone. The oppression was gone. You go from your will to God's will in a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if that isn't something telling you that was the right decision,
you
don't have a clue. So that was a good learning experience, you know, and praise God I chose that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to throw my little fit to, you know, and kick and scream, and I was uncomfortable, and I didn't want to do it. And so I called him back, and I said, hey, Robert, so I decided to go. He's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, don't do, you guys do this to me. He goes, I knew you were going. He goes, you would get there, you know. And this is, I guess the timetable, this is like not even 2 weeks before also. So it wasn't like a couple months where you could prepare. It's like, do I even have a passport or whatever? And so we were able to figure it all out. Because, again, for those of you who don't know me, I'm very administrative in how I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you put something before me, I just I go on that road, and I stay on there till it's done, till the road ends.
Yeah.
And if you try and get me off that road, it's blah, 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 blah. And we could tell you stories in staff meetings, and these guys would laugh because they know Michael moved on 3 subjects, and I was still on the first one.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so to not have any of it mapped out, for me, that was a big step of really just trusting God. And we got to remember that when you're faithful, it's doing something you don't know how it's going to go. That's why you have to have faith in it. You have no idea. But if you're having faith with the God of the universe behind you, yeah, I think you're going to do okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, those were several things like that happened in our walk, and those were real building blocks, you know, tough decisions, things that shouldn't have been that tough.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get to take those. We go on the trip. I come back, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Went from this fearful, I don't want to go to a third world country, to go, when's the next one?
Mm-hmm.
And that is not an exaggeration, because I went the next year.
Yeah.
I'm like, when's the next one? So we went next year. And they're great trips. If you ever get a chance to go, like he's talking about the Romania one in the spring,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they are life-changing experiences. If you're nervous, you're not quite sure or whatever, man, it's because great things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And the devil doesn't want great things in the kingdom of God to happen for you. So there's going to be some resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But put your faith in that and trust. And sometimes they don't work out, and that's okay. But if you just put your heart to that and realize, okay, I want to do that, God is going to open the door for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are good. And I didn't get to go to all of them, but I was able to make it to Costa Rica, went to Haiti. That trip was 3 week, yeah, it was planned before that was 2010, I think, was the earthquake. So if you guys remember, that was devastating to that country. We already had the trip planned, and then the earthquake happened, and I think we were going only 3 weeks after the earthquake.
Yeah.
And it was 3 days or 4 days before we got there that the road was open to the place we were going. So it was really That was that. Yeah, it was bad. I mean, you're flying in, blue tarps everywhere. I mean, they were devastated. But what did God do on that trip? Unbelievable stuff. Yeah, Jake, you were on that one. Brian, I don't know if you. Okay, yeah, Ben was there. We had like 22 people. Man, so if I don't open the door to do any of them, I don't get to these other ones, right? So if you're willing to just do something, God, again, I say this over and over again, the Bible says that he doesn't give you anything you can't handle. So why would he give you something that's going to crush you and kill you spiritually? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely opposite of how he works. So the faith part of kicking in that faith, when just understand it, he's not going to put something there that's before you that you can't handle. It'll feel like it at times. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it'll feel like it. But that's you. Yeah. God's just like, come on. He's like Robert. He's like, yeah, I know you're going. You know, you'll get there.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, it helps you build on that next decision, that next mission trip, that next thing. It's a building block for you to walk in your faith greater and greater, right?
Yeah.
So, but that trip was amazing. It was a longer one too, 22 people. We saw so many things happen. It was countless. I mean, I remember preaching in places where, because their power was very touch and go, and at certain times they just didn't get it. And we were at these places with these meetings, mm-hmm. and probably, I don't know, 2,500 people, I don't think that was out of the question for some of them, really. As far as you could see, and then the power would go out, and then it was as far as you could see. But what was great is you could still see occasional flashlights and stuff and people, you know, worshiping and praying and praising God and receiving things. And it enabled us to walk in ways that were, wow, just stuff you would never do and see, you know. Blind eyes open, deaf ears healed, people that couldn't walk. I mean, there was one person that had a foot that was turned the wrong way, his face the right way, and then they were playing soccer later or the next day or something,
yeah.
You know. So it really, so all that, I finally, you know, I kick and scream, and then now you look back at it and you go, wow, look where God has brought me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so let each one of these things that happen in a way that builds your faith. Don't do the kick and scream routine, you know. It's not beneficial,
yeah.
If I haven't made that clear. So, anyway, ready? You got more? Want me to keep going?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, I guess I just had one
thing,
yeah,
you please.
Know, about the fear. And, you know, the devil doesn't want you to do things for God. The thing is, all he can do is scare you and make you think that you can't do things. He can't physically touch you and harm you and all that. It is kind of in your head in that regard. So really, don't go there. Just God is bigger. Claim it. He lives inside of you. He gave you his spirit when he died on the cross, and he left us, and that the fee's been paid. You are free. You are free. It's just fear, and it's not from God. So let it go.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, yeah. And a big major part of that that really was a huge building block for us was how discipleship works and how important discipleship, absolutely necessary, cannot increase with your walk in God without discipleship into the way that it's there before you. It just doesn't work. And so I know I'm kind of going back and forth with the timeline, but it's to show you a story, how it built me in this way, and how it built her, and then how it built us. And one of the main things we had was people that just decided to say, hey, just come over, open their house, come over for dinner, whether it was Brian and Kathy or the Hans or the Patnos or the Fishers or whatever. It was people that just opened that door, and it was such a different way of thinking for us.
Yeah.
Because I was raised on the, you don't invite somebody over, you know, you don't, the joke is, you don't want people to know you live in your house when they come over.
No.
That's a commercial. If
yes.
You haven't seen it,
yeah.
It's hilarious. But they're going around picking up their house, and the person's fluffing the pillows, And they're being like a drill sergeant, like, fluff those pillows, vacuum this. We don't want people to know we live here. Yeah. And that's how it is like you have to make this like grand Taj Mahal to invite people over. And that's how I was raised, uh-huh. is you don't want people to know that your bed doesn't make itself. Okay? I joke all the time because I go in houses all the time for a living. I go and look at houses and do estimates for repairs on them, and people will apologize all the time. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, my house doesn't clean itself up either. And then they totally relax. It's yeah. like, it's all good. Yeah. You know, life is busy and it happens. Yeah. But going back to the freedom that these people had, they're like, here is their life in their house, right? And is it perfect? No. Is it in perfect order? No. But is it in order? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there peace? Yeah. Is there joy? Yeah. Yeah. And so we got to experience that where just come, come over. Oh, but don't we have to do this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, and you're going to have people over and you got all that stuff. They're like, yeah, just meet, you know what? Go there before us. We'll meet you there. You know, and I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, and so we're in this house waiting for people to come that's not ours and things like that. But what a difference to have people show us a way of freedom that there's like, yeah, this is, you know, if you got nothing to hide, there's no issues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you got to hide certain things, it's like I always tell the kids, if somebody says don't tell mom or dad, that's when you know, that's where it derailed right there. That's right where it derailed. Don't tell mom or dad. You're like, okay, then we'll be good. It's like, no, that's right where the train fell off the tracks, right? And so if you don't have anything to hide in your house, you're good. If you do, take care of that,
yeah.
Right? But I'm making mini points. You kind of get multi-point packages along the main point way, though. But I just love it because those are the practical things. I'm a very practical person that really help you in walk with God. Are they scripture necessarily? You could probably twisted scripture into something. But yeah, but it was that heart, just seeing people, how they live, how they open their house, you know, the joy of God, how a Christian house is run, and how it was so different than anything we were ever brought up in. Mm-hmm. Our houses were kind of opposite a little bit. She was more on the farmhouse where, you know, Dad would sit around in his underwear and clean his guns. But, you know.
Thanks for that.
Actually, no, that's just when the Jehovah's would come to the door.
Or a boyfriend.
Or a boyfriend. That's right. You're like, yeah, come on in, guys. You're like, you know what? I just remembered. I double booked. You're like, you bet you did, you know? I'm not too far off, by the way. But you know, it was different. It was totally different. And we got to see... In this place of where it's like, you just, if you're living for God, it's everything reflects it. So you don't have to concern yourself with it. It's like politicians that have to remember lies. They got to be, I can't believe how stressful that is.
Yeah.
Okay? Another tangent here. I've actually now just accepted a new job. This is really cool because my base salary is going to go up like 18%. And with bonuses, it could go up as much as 42% a year. Different company.
Awesome.
Different company. Isn't this crazy?
All of a sudden.
So where was I going with that? See, that was too sharp of a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Darn. Guns and underwear. That's it. No. No. Maybe it'll come back.
You were talking about politicians.
Bam! There's the guy. See? Politicians. Way to go. That's it. That was the point. Thank you, Josh. So.
Not having to remember lies.
Yep. This was all about the lies thing and the politicians. So I've had to. Now, a little bit of the story is two guys. One above me, one next to me, left the company, but they did it in a terrible way. The one guy decided to work both jobs at the same time to see if he liked it for 2 months. I'm like, wait, they're both 50-hour-a-week jobs. I'm like, that's why your houses look like garbage. You're only spending half the time on them. I get it. The other guy just lied to my face. I asked him. I knew he was leaving. He lied to my face. And then all of a sudden, he's going. And I was like, whatever. You guys, that's stupid. And so our, you know, our company's like, hey, we realize this company's kind of poaching people. You know, we know you have the freedom to leave. We just ask you to be upfront about it. And I was like, yeah. You know, at that point, I didn't think anything of it. Well, then I got to see behind the curtain of this job and realize the dysfunction wasn't just immediate. It was dysfunction that leads all the way to the top. And I'm like, oh, so there is no solving this. And I went, I don't know if I can do this. Yeah, my current job. I'm like, it's just like, well, and so the guys that left, one of them was my manager, and he says, hey, you know, I want you on this team. And I'm like, well, I'm not leaving on your coattails, just to be clear. You guys did that on your own. Well, so this is like 2 months later, and I call him, and we talk about it, and I was like, I see what you were doing. I see what you were dealing with here, blah, blah, blah. And long story short, I thought, well, this is an option. And so I start talking to him. I realize that the job, what I'm doing, is better in a lot of respects. The pay is obviously better. The benefits are amazing. And I went, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. So how do I do this now? Because I don't want to be connected with them. I got to do this right. And so the point of doing it right and not lying, mm-hmm, is it can be very difficult in times like that. But what's great about it is you don't have to remember truth because it's what's in there,
yeah,
right? So there's that freedom in that. And this is coming back to the house too, is that, you know, so when I'm talking to these guys, I will omit some things and not say certain things, but not be deceptive about it, right? There's just certain things, it's like, that doesn't need to go there. And if it does, whatever, be a grown-up about it. Who cares? It's just a job in the end. But people can get really childish behind it. Mm-hmm. And you really find out what's behind people. I mean, the Bible says, you know, the fires of the furnace, you know, burn off the dross and bring the impurities to the surface. So trials do that. Stress does that. And so I was like, do I have any impurities with this? Have I got any coming? Well, turns out no, which is great. But other people did, and they showed their face. But then other people were professional. It's all good. But when you getting back to the house scenario, is when you just are living that way, there's nothing to hide because it's what's in you. You don't have to memorize stuff. You don't have to say, oh, yeah, we got to put it this way. Remember, that's over there. Do this because we don't want them to see that, you know, mm-hmm, whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
That's what we started to see in these discipleship groups, is this freedom of just, this is our life, and that's where it comes from, is that when you're living for Jesus and doing what he's putting in front of you, mm-hmm, that's where that freedom comes from, because you're just in it. People get to see it and are blessed by it, and they get to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, backtracking again to the whole discipleship thing, that's a pivotal role. So we, you know, here it's talked about a lot with home groups and all these other gatherings and stuff. Do as many as you can.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all of them. That's nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the time and the resources and the energy, man, do all of them. We did,
mm-hmm,
you know, and there was times where that worked. If you're in that freedom and in that growth and allow it to happen and let other people point out some impurities, man, mm-hmm, you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
So just be willing when you go there and do these things to have the humbleness to understand that there's things you can work on.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings me to another major point, is that you never stop learning.
Yeah.
Right? I always say it's like finishing the internet.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So, and I think we touched on this last time a little bit, but it seems like it's really important, is that God gives grace to the humble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And humility is being open and willing to learn and not being worried about what's behind the curtain, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
You're just an open soul. What can I do? Teach me. Part of teaching is correction,
mm-hmm,
right? And the Bible says that at first it doesn't seem right, and it's like you're kind of like, ah, I hate this. But later you see God's righteousness in it,
mm-hmm,
right? And so if you know that's on the other side, be uncomfortable for 2 seconds. Get over your little fit, you know. But if you're open to that, that grace, that power comes with it. And then you get to grow. And that's where that discipleship will really, I talk with my hands a lot. That discipleship really will go for you. If you find yourself, maybe you're in a place right now where you're just like, well, I don't know, it's kind of weird, you know, these people are, now you guys are leaving, whatever, you're throwing a little fit. Okay? God's got bigger plans. It's not about dwelling on a certain thing that happened or this or whatever. It just means you're not willing to be open enough to let that be corrected yet. Mm-hmm. Okay? So once you get there, that is where you're going to have that house where you have nothing to hide, and that house of not just your physical house, but you, God's house, right? And that is where you can really take off as a Christian, as a walk with God, and God can do amazing things. If you reach that point and you realize that freedom is on the other side of it, that's when you're going to see amazing things happen. Mm-hmm. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
One, two, three. No, I think pretty much everybody did. You got something?
I had something on order. So, you know, being a young Christian, a young believer, he grew up in his house and I grew up in mine. And like he said, they were quite different, but they were kind of the same in that they were out of order. So that's something coming into marriage that I didn't understand about. And through discipleship, I learned about. And it's so important. All of you, children, wives, all of you, even husbands, order is important. So something that really spoke to me in going to various people's houses as a young Christian was seeing the godly order, how it's supposed to be. So coming in a bit of a dysfunction where the mom would have to hide that she spent money or something and then tell the kids, don't tell dad, don't tell dad. I grew up with that. So, and my poor husband had to deal with little pockets of that, I'm sure. I have no examples, though.
I do.
Oh.
It's not your turn.
Okay. You got
it's amazing how your memory works.
Yeah, it is.
So through discipleship and seeing, you know, families like the Schulers and the Fishers and the Hans, who he mentioned earlier, whom a lot of you don't know, but that's okay. It's still just an example. Where the husband was in leadership of the household, and you could tell when the kids addressed the dad, the husband, that there was a respectfulness there. I didn't grow up with that. I grew up scared of my dad, and so there's a bit of a respect thing there, but more just because you didn't want to face the backhand of things, so to speak. You know, his anger or whatever. So coming in and learning from these families that the dad is in the leadership in a loving way, in a noogie way. But then the wife also in leadership over the children, but just the husband and wife form a team. He bounces off her and she bounces off him, and they feed each other in it, and the kids see that, and so there's strength and there's love and there's just family there. Everyone loves each other and they want to be there. So I'm just like, you want to be there? You're hugging each other? What is this that you speak of? But that's important because Christ was at the head of that. Yeah. There's order. There's order that needs to be followed. There's order in your heart that you need to yield to your spouse. Kids, listen to your parents. Just listen to your parents.
They might know more than you.
They were kids at once, and it really, they're not that far removed from being kids. We still feel like we're kids sometimes, so put that in your pocket, okay? But there is an order, and if you yield to following in that order and just being in your place in that order, your life is going to be awesome. Yeah, there's hiccups along the way. Yeah, there's things that, you know, you fumble and you have to work through that. But you can work through that. So that is, just be in the order.
Yeah,
just, it sounded like a cult just now, but don't do that.
be part of the order. Not the first order, though, right? Just be at order. Yeah.
Don't be out of order.
No, it's true. You know, he's not a God of confusion, of disorder. Things may not make sense, but that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they don't make sense doesn't mean they're not correct. It just means you don't understand. So, and I love it because God has a order, a path, a way for everything. And it doesn't matter where you are in life, he has that for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so especially for, I want to say, you know, it is strange watching kids these days grow up and how things are going. Jake had just alluded a little bit about, we talked before the service a little bit about AI and how, you know, certain people are like, within 10 years, a robot's going to be your kid's best friend, and how socially people just don't even get what's going on here and all this stuff. I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to be with people.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't emphasize it enough. I'm funny because when I'm by myself, I don't really feel that urge to go be with people. And I know there's certain personalities that are like that. But when I'm with people, I'm like, this is great. This
yeah.
is fun. You know, it's like, wow. Like I was supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
But with kids, I see you guys are so connected. So connected.
Yeah.
To LEDs, light emitting diodes. But not with the people sitting next to you. Now, I'm not singling anybody out here, because this is a great church and really great, fantastic kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not designed that way. You weren't designed to just not do anything without a single person. We were designed to be with people because the Bible says iron sharpens iron as one person sharpens another.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that by yourself. Okay, yeah, you can watch a great message and I get it, but they're not laying hands on you and praying for you. Sorry. That's not happening. So for the kids especially, don't be so connected in your device that you miss the person sitting next to you. And I don't know where this video came from. Maybe you might have sent it to me or I sent it to you. But this video is of these three girls at a baseball game.
Oh
he knows. And they are in la-la land. I mean, there is stuff happening around them. I think one of the baseballs got hit like almost into them, maybe even. And people are, I mean, the game is going amazing. And Michael Fisher had one of the greatest sentences ever uttered by a man. Be where you are. And I was like, well, how do you not do that? It was my first question. But then he put it in context. I'm like, totally get it. So if you're in something, be invested in that, right? Well, this game is going berserk. The crowd's going crazy. People jumping around. And they're all like, all doing this, and pretty soon the people around them start laughing at them, and the announcers at the game start mocking them, and that's where it really got funny, is now the cameras are on them, and blah, blah, blah. Now, was that necessarily right? I don't know, it's funny. We'll just leave it there, but the example is valid.
Yeah.
Be where you are, right?
Yeah.
So be invested. Know that, man, your heart, whether it is or not to be with people all the time or not, it's in there somewhere. So discipleship, a key, I guess, full circle on that. A lot of service. So we went from just deer in the headlights to children's church, running the children's church, to being a deacon in the church, and, you know, really involved in a lot of things and loved it. And there was times in our life where I remember there was a time where I didn't have much work, and I was kind of bummed out about that. And that was the year that all this was built, this day, all this stuff, and I think that was like 2014 maybe. And I was, you know, I was like, gosh, I just can't get enough word, blah, blah, blah. And then she had this amazing thing to say to me. She says, yeah, but then you wouldn't have been able to serve and do all those amazing things at the church. I'm like, yeah, amen. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of times where, you know, sacrifice is valid. It's real. You do have to give up things. You know, bef- before we had kids, I had a saltwater aquarium. I went golfing 3 times a week. You know, we did all this stuff. And you do sacrifice to get things, but all good things are worth fighting for. So that's part of it. And there was many times throughout the service that it got to a point where I'm like, wow, I just feel crushed, you know. And so you get to a part where you actually take a break. Mm-hmm. You actually need to step back, take a break, right? Mm-hmm. And there was times, you know, whether it was financially or just certain things in the church, we said, hey, we're going to have to change it, blah, 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 tailor it. It's all awesome.
Yeah.
Totally open about that. The leadership here is always going to be open about that. We just want people to serve God and do what he has before you. And that is a fun church.
Mm-hmm.
But there was points where you just, you know, you got to take a break. And whether it's you need to fast and pray, which is most likely true, and you need to just do something else or whatever it is, maybe you need to change jobs, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do those too. So you have your spiritual life, your physical life, you know, and your family life. There's all these plates that you have to balance if you're in a family. And sometimes the plates are starting to wobble on that stick pretty bad. So go get that one turning again. You guys all know the reference, right? The plate spinning. Anybody not know? Okay. It's kind of an old thing, but it really works. You know, you just got to keep things going. And sometimes you got one too many plates to spin,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. It's better to do things well than to do too many things poorly,
mm-hmm.
always. But there are times when you have to just do too many things poorly to get through. I digress, but that's not the norm. So we actually got to a point where, and this was probably, gosh, it's already been over 2 years, and I remember approaching Jake, and I was like, man, I am cooked. I got my tank is empty. And he was just like, well, yeah, you've been serving nonstop for like 20 years. I was like, that probably has something to do with it. You know, he goes, you probably just need to take a break. You know, I was like, if you know me, that's not in my nature. If you put it before me, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I leave. That's not how I do it or I can't. It doesn't get half done. If it gets half done, I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. I was in this half done, frustrated mode. He's like, you need to just stop, take a time out. And he coined the phrase, you got to be a deke off. Deke on, off. So. That's pretty good. Twisted Sister. You got a lot of them today. Twisted Scripture, sorry. I like pictured one of their album covers, too. It was really bad. Not verbatim. I just, 80s hair bands. Just picture guys with makeup and long hair, and you're good. You got it. A lot of bling. But anyway, so I had to do that. Had to just kind of stop, take a check. And this is, a lot of you here have known me not even long enough before that. Like, how many people have been here 2 years or less? We have. Okay, so for you guys, you don't really know us beforehand. This is all stories for you. You mostly know me as not doing much around here. So you're like, I think he's lying, honey. Don't you think? I don't ever see him doing anything. But he can drum.
Lots of full garbage cans.
Guys are listening. I love it. Because I wasn't. Anyway, so that was, you know, I had to do that. And that was really step back, kind of self-reflect, realize that I was overextended. I was telling these guys, I didn't realize it, but it was like 8 months of backtracking. I don't even know how to describe it, of just thinking of places I got in my spiritual walk that weren't right, you know, and I think that's normal. And you go through these phases, and it was like 8 months of just, oh, my gosh, I got to tear this down. That's got to go. Praise God, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes in there. You're willing. You're open. He can, you know, clear some things up. Nothing bad, just so you know. No sin or anything like that. I don't want you to think there's none of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I think, too much overextended and kind of getting a little whiny about it. That's all. And so then through that transition, COVID hits. And you know, I'm like, oh, you know, all we really know is this church. I think we've been to like 3 other churches in 20-some years that we've been here ever. So We're like, yeah, we'll leave, you know, we'll go to some other churches and check things out and blah, blah, blah. And then COVID hits. I'm like, I don't want to go there. Yeah, they're not even holding the service. And if you go there, there's 10 people. And are you really getting a correct reflection of what it is and blah, blah, blah. And so what the point I'm leading up to is, what are we doing next, right? And it was hard to get where we are today. As I've been saying kind of over and over, we're talking about order and how I think and how I do things. I don't normally, like, this changing job thing, that's even pretty a bold step for me. Yeah. That's not something I would do. I like getting the job, doing it well and doing it right, making it better. That's just how I operate. Mm-hmm. And so for me to just work for some place and dysfunction for 2 years and then leave is not normal. And so it's been a lot of that type of thing. But we, I think, for the last probably year then, we're kind of just never came fully out. It's like I had some teardown moments. I had God building things back. But we never felt like this piece of, okay, now we're going to come back and pick up where we left off. It just, that never came back. Yeah. And it was very confusing. So then what do? You go back and you point the finger at you. That's the best thing to do, by the way. Don't start cursing God or tell him he doesn't know what he's doing. Never done that. Don't do that, by the way. And I didn't curse God. I just was like, you know, whatever. I'm done. I'm done with this mess. Mm-hmm. You know, throw my little fit, kick and scream. And God's like, are you done yet? You know, and then you come back and praise God. He's like that. He just loves you. He's like, all right, your little fit. Now let's go do it right. You know, praise him for that. Okay. He doesn't do things differently than that. So he doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't, you know, stay mad at you for a day. He's just like, okay, now you caught up to me. Let's go, right? And so we just never were able to quite pull out of that, and it was frustrating. And so we had talked to Brian and Jake and other people just trying to, you know, we're like, I don't know, maybe this, and we're talking about doing these other things and serving in a different way, and maybe it's this, and we're just like, I don't know. It wasn't until, because this never crossed our mind, it wasn't until we actually entertained the thought of going somewhere else. And I went, because that wasn't in the cards for us. So we're just like, that's not in the cards. So we had that thought, and what was great about it, if you remember how we both got to the number of children that we felt God was wanted us to have, number four separately came together. It was the same thing with this. I brought it up. She goes, that's what's been on my heart like the last couple days, is we need to look at that. Well, that didn't make it any easier because we still didn't feel like we should go or do anything different. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, well, what? Because the normal procedure, I don't know, normal, maybe that's not the right word, but what we've seen is that you get called to whatever. You go plant a church here. Or Jake and Jesse went and, you know, did that in missions and planted churches in Romania. Or you get called to a different church or a certain ministry or whatever it is. It's like you find out what you're going to do, then you go do that. And so that's what we knew, and that's why it didn't make sense to us. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun. If you remember Michael and Annie, he preached on ways that God can talk to you that you would never think of. And so two chocolate wrappers later in a Jeep commercial, they're moving to California. And you're just like, wait, what? You know, and obviously I condensed all that, but they were in the same type of position where they're like, well, okay, where are we? What is this? And they had, I don't remember what the Dove chocolate wrapper said specifically, but they said a couple things, and then they saw the Jeep commercial, which was like, go. And they were like, all right, I think we got there. Yeah. We didn't have that amazing moment. I was willing to try, though.
Lots of chocolate wrappers.
Oh, man. Don't eat a bag of Dove at one setting. Don't do that. Yeah. So for us, we did this amazing thing called consulting the coins. Ooh. It's fantastic. If you don't know, I'm going to describe it very brief, and we're running out of time here, so I'll keep it going. But you have a choice. I did this with Livy the other day. It was her and I have the birthday on this, our birthdays on the same day, and so we went and got something to eat, and we came back, and we're like, let's watch a movie. And she's like, well, it's this one or this one. And she's like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You want both of them, so you're going to get one that you want. You're good. And I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. I go grab the coin. I'm like, heads is this one, tails is this one, right? She's like, yeah. And I flip it, and it's heads. She's like, great. Okay, She's all good to go. Okay? So the thing is when you flip the coin and it comes over and you're like, how about best 2 out of 3? I think you know your decision now because it didn't land on the one you wanted, right? It just forces you to think and make a decision in your head. Okay, this was funny because I think it was heads were open to whatever this is going somewhere else. Head now, whatever that means, tails were staying. And I flipped the coin, and usually a coin on a hard surface bounces, right? I flipped it on the table, and it went boom. I'm like, what the heck? And it was heads, and I went, oh, okay. Uh-huh. And coin, you know, we just went, all right, we're done. That's it. And we're like, did we just do that?
Yeah.
For all of you who think that's a little strange, you're fine. It is. But the point is it makes you think in a way to make you just decide something and do something, but be open to ways that God can speak to you, right? Whether it's 2 chocolate wrappers in a Jeep commercial or consulting the coins or I don't know, whatever. I don't remember all the references he used. So that was probably, I don't even remember, was that early summer even? And then we thought, okay, we're going to put our minds on this and spend time on that. And that was when things started to change for us. That's when all of a sudden I started to feel better health-wise. That's when all these other opportunities came. And all these things started to happen, whether inside, outside our family. And things started to change. And we went, okay, so we were holding something back there. We were kicking against it because it didn't make sense. And so what I'm saying to you guys is, because we don't have this specific thing lined up, and this was a conversation we've had. I'm not saying anything that we haven't hashed out in leadership here, because it took us all a while to work through this. If you don't see it because you're like, well, you're not doing this specifically, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. For me, are being open in a way of faith that I never thought I would have to be open in, which is step out with who knows how many possibilities. And being willing to be open to one that is pointed out to us. Do we know what that is yet? We don't. We still don't. But the main holdback for me was, in the way I think, is I'm like, if I'm here, I'm here. I don't do other places. I'm here. Mm-hmm. And so once we kind of all understood, we're like, yeah, it really is how you think. I can't, until you know we know what God's doing, I have to get away from here. Now, here's the great thing about it. We're up here. We've been invited back. Mm-hmm. Okay? There is great ways to do this. And there are wrong ways to do this. There is no reason for you to feel like you have to leave a church and you can't say anything. Don't tell mom or dad. Boom. That's how you know something's wrong. If you can't openly discuss it, we were talking about the houses, your house. If you can't just be open in front, then it's something you have to work through. We didn't have that. We were like, this feels about as right to us as right has felt in a couple of years. Even though it doesn't make a lot of sense, it still feels like it's the right thing. Now, here's the great thing about it, is if we're wrong, so what?
Yeah.
So it was a wrong decision. Jake and Brian aren't going to be like, oh, well, okay, Jake told me. He said, forget it. No. They're like, absolutely, that's in the cards. Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
When they were trying to go figure out how to plant a church in Romania, Michael finally just said, well, if it doesn't work out, come back in a year. And we were all like, well, yeah, duh. Yeah, you put so much pressure on you. You know, it's like, just go make a decision and go do it, right? So, but he did warn me. He said the membership fee has tripled since. So... It could go up more. And a percentage of 0 is?
Triple times 2.
Exactly.
0. It's 0. Okay, so even though it's tripled, it's still affordable. That was a great thing. A part of that reference is we would give stuff away, and we're like 100% money back guarantee if you don't like your bag of popcorn. And people would be like, oh, some people would just walk away, totally miss it. We're like, we'll give you all your money back. I'm like, oh, okay. And some people are like, wait, this was free.
It's a low bar.
Yeah, right. It's a low bar. Right. But anyway, so that we want to make sure this is all 100% open, because the last thing we want is people with vain imaginations going, oh, they're doing it wrong or this and that. You know, maybe. That could be. I just know that this is what God has put on my heart. I stand before him and have to answer for those. And that's the important thing. Whether it's right or wrong at this point, it could be to do something else. So we talked about some interesting things that I won't get into that be like, oh, wow, that would be interesting to see that. You know, maybe it's this. Maybe it's something gets established so it comes back this way, whatever. So it was interesting. Yeah. Whether it was a walk in faith for us, you guys, them, leadership, they got to walk the same way. Mm-hmm. They're not exempt. Mm-hmm. They're not exempt from having to trust God every day. They just do it in a measure that's given to them,
yeah.
Right? Because they were called to leadership. They were called to do these jobs. So don't panic. It's in a measure that is given to you. And I hope I make that. Does that make sense when I say it that way?
Mm-hmm.
That it's what God has for you. He doesn't give you more than you can handle. So you will get it in a way that you're able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were so blessed to be able to do that and be open and have these guys. And we came before them open going, hey, we want to make sure. We want to do this right. We don't want to screw this up. We've seen most of the departures from here done wrong. Not all. Most is over 50%, though. And I won't get into that, but it's more than half. And we were trying to think of all the families that or any of the people that are doing well after that. And there's a few. But most of the time, if you leave and you break a separation, a relationship, a something that you've worked on, and you just, because you disagree and you're not open to being corrected or figuring out something, whatever it may be, that's a tear. That's like when you get married and the two become one. When you divorce, you have two halves now. You don't have two holes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, you know, we've always talked about it, you that covering doesn't follow you. You just threw it and down at the floor. And we watch families fall apart one after another. Is that a fear of God thing for some of you? Yeah, it probably should be. But that should always be there, that we want to do what's in his will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our main thing is, guys, help us figure this out. Let us do this in a way that we honor you. We don't dishonor the church, but, man, that we fulfill this draw that's in our heart that we can't argue with. And so that's kind of the basic premise of it. Where it goes from there, it's kind of exciting to see. We don't know exactly. But we're open to what it could be or what it will be. And if it's because we pick something up and we come back here in a year or two or three or whatever, cool. We're good with that. We're totally good with that. If it's because something goes in a totally different direction and we actually leave Wisconsin, okay. I personally don't see that. I'm trying to be open to that. Because I love snow so much. That's why. And shoveling, yes. But anyway, we've gone after 12. Man, time flies. I hope we didn't bore you guys. We just wanted to be open 100%, give you guys just really a glimpse of what God has done, but more nail that down to points that you can relay to any situation.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So. You want me to pray or you want to come up?
Yeah, pray?
Okay. All right. Awesome. Lord, thank you so much that you are a God of order, that you love your children, that you have plans for us and all of us here, Lord. And God, I pray for that visibility, that faith for us to just walk in those, whether we see it clearly or not.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, I thank you that you're a God that's alive, that's currently doing things. And Lord, that you have great plans for all of us. I just pray for your peace on all that. And just thank you for all you're done and all that you're going to do in